talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I don't think I can do this.
You can do anything I want you to do. But don't worry about it. The audience will be completely drunk. And if we're not perfect, they'll take it out on us. But that's why you're going to be perfect. You have to be perfect. Okay. All right.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Yeah, it's another Manic Monday for you on K-Rock. Anyway, I'm Rodney, and here's this, a band.
I can't get your song out of my mind. I haven't felt this way since Funky Town.
We in radio believe that radio has a tradition of which it can well be proud. A tradition of good programs that linger fondly in our memory.
And now,
when you're drunk, the world is wobbly.
Our feature presentation.
Oh my God, it's raining!
Sort of.
Barely.
So, I mean, it's misting.
Almost.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 22nd of July.
It's not raining enough for King of Mexico to use windshield wipers, though, right?
Oh, no.
Never.
Nothing crazy like that.
That level doesn't exist.
So, Kevin, you survived San Diego. You made it back in one piece.
Of course.
Did you see Weezer?
I did.
Did you see Metallica?
I did. That was awesome. I did not see Metallica.
You see Patton Oswalt?
Couldn't do everything. No, I did not.
Didn't do that. Yeah, there are a lot of options in San Diego at Comic-Con. A lot of events that are going on at the same time.
Although I did get up at 5 till 5 and left my house at 1 after 5.
Wow.
That's pretty fast.
That's really
fast. And took
a
shower.
What?
Yeah.
You got up,
yes.
Left 6 minutes later, and we're still able to take a shower?
Shower's an exaggeration.
You ran through the sprinklers?
I ran through the water in the shower. Stepped in, stepped out.
Done.
Done.
Well, it's a very exciting day. Not only do we have a huge Kevin and Bean Show planned today, including lots of leftover interviews from Comic-Con that we didn't even have time to play for you last week, but of course the world, Kevin, is on Royal Baby Watch. You know today's the day, right? It looks like.
I don't know anything about this.
But the whole world is watching and excited, Kevin. The whole world is excited.
The whole world. Princess.
Is it the queen? Is she pregnant?
No, unfortunately, no. It's, I guess I want to call her a princess, but she's not. She's a duchess. Kate Middleton is in the hospital now. She apparently is in labor, has been there for about eight hours or so.
Oh, and I did see a report about this last week where there was, I don't know, they were like, they've been in London for 2 weeks and stuff.
Yeah.
Waiting. Is she going into labor? No. Okay.
You should see. It's a media frenzy. Of course, they're the biggest stars in Britain. I mean, take everything we have with Kanye and Kim here, and times 100. You know, that's what the royal family is like in Britain, right? They're the biggest celebrities going. So there's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people who've just been just sitting out in front of the hospital. Some of them are journalists who are waiting for word, but the rest of them are just fans. Just want to be there. Just want to be part of it when the baby is born in the hospital.
You can't really be part of it. When you're outside.
That's true.
Yeah, they just want to be outside. Royal officials say the couple traveled by car without a police escort to get to the hospital.
That's crazy.
It is actually kind of crazy. Like, it seems like you would want, I don't know, a little help just to make sure that there's no hang-up or something. I'm surprised that they just drove themselves without a police escort a little bit.
Why is this such big news? Is because it might... this person might one day take over the throne?
This person is third in line to the crown. Yes, that's correct. So once the queen dies, then Prince Charles gets to be king for a minute because he's old.
Right.
And then he dies. And then William gets in and he'll rule for like 70 years. And then if this baby is still alive, this baby will one day be the monarch.
That's absurd. What if this baby's a dick? See, that's the problem with the whole system.
That's
true. This little kid's a dick.
That's why our system is better than their system, because we don't know who the third president from now is, because that we elect based on merit, not on blood. We have a better system. But I will tell you that there's so much money in Britain for the royal family. I mean, the royal family is their most popular thing, and it makes hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars every year just from tourists, just from people visiting and buying stuff.
I thought it cost the taxpayers like hundreds of millions of dollars.
It cost them a lot too, but they feel like it is they feel like it's a plus game for them. They make more money off of a minute cost.
There's a spokesperson out in front of the hospital.
Actually, fun enough, I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
I don't know what that
means. In case you're wondering, you can bet on what the royal baby's name is going to be. That has been a closely guarded secret. We may not even find out today. We may not find out for a week or even a month what the baby's name is going to be. But George is the favorite for a boy, in case you're wondering.
What about Grange?
Former King Grange. Alexandra is the favorite for a girl, by the way. So there's still time to place your bet. Because, see, here's the thing. You think there's a lot of pressure, Kevin, on you to have to name your kids. This is a name that it's going to be remembered for hundreds of years, whatever this name is.
Maybe.
So I would go for comedy, wouldn't you?
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And finally, and I think you'll find this fascinating, Kevin, because you're on board with me with when it comes to astrology. And I know that we have listeners who are, for some reason, still into astrology. If the royal baby arrives today, oops, my page just refreshed. If the royal baby arrives today, its birthday will fall under the zodiac sign of Cancer. But if it is born very late this evening or tomorrow, it will be a Leo.
Oh, that's huge.
But one astrologer, Patrick Arundel, has predicted the baby will have a very Cancerian personality, even if it is born under the sign of Leo.
Well, that baby's already not playing by the rules.
It's on the cusp, right?
Exactly. He said the future king or queen would be more conventional if a Cancerian, but more of a groundbreaker if born tomorrow as a Leo. Either way, he or she is going to be larger than life, charismatic, and glamorous. So there you go. That's what you need to know for the Royal Baby Watch right now.
Thank you, Bean.
You.
That's what I was going to say.
let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
If you cease to exist, it wouldn't matter to me.
Thanks for the tweet, Bean.
Oh, come on.
The program today?
I thought we were all friends.
We're not. I don't know why you would think that. We have an old friend in the studio today, Nick. Remember Nick the sign holder?
Yes.
Yes.
He's got quite a project going, and we can't wait to explain it to you.
Did you look at his website?
I did.
His website, if it's not 100,000 words, I don't know what is.
He is not brief.
He is obsessed, Lisa May, with getting the Playboy Club back on the air. That short-lived NBC, I think it was NBC, TV show that starred Amber Heard. Now, everyone involved in that project has moved on and gone on to other things. Nobody involved with the show, including the people who made it, want it back on the air. But Nick is not going to rest until it is.
Now, but didn't it go off the air like a year ago?
Oh, at least.
Yeah, probably more.
Maybe more than a year ago.
Right.
So why the rush? That's because it's his manifesto that he had to put online. So I can't wait to talk to him about that.
I love Nick, by the way. I love his. I wish I was as excited about anything as Nick is about the Playboy Club.
Yeah. Yeah, except for the fact that nothing's going to come of this. It's pretty cool. We have some interviews that we did over the weekend. Lars from Metallica telling you about his brand new movie that they have. Metallica has a brand new movie coming out at the end of the month. O.J. Simpson had a parole hearing. Chris Harrison will be in the studio as well talking about the Bachelorette or whatever BS he's on.
Okay.
And I believe that's – oh, we have Patton Oswalt as well.
Awesome.
Love Pat coming up today. So I got a lot of show for you today. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat, and that's next. Well, 106.7 K-Rock is KRQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
That band is called New Politics. The song is Harlem. They were at Comic-Con over the weekend playing an MTV party on Thursday night. This man in front of us was at Comic-Con. I don't know. It seems like for the last month or so, Ralph Garman joins us in studio. How are you recovering there, Ralph?
I'm exhausted.
Bet you are, man. You need a weekend bad right now.
Yeah, it's always a long weekend, but just such a fun weekend and so much cool stuff going on. I love it. And then it almost kills me.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to explain Ultron to me because that's all I heard about yesterday.
Ultron!
Apparently, that's the only thing that matters in the world now.
You don't know, man.
I don't know, man.
You know what? Whatever, Avengers 2, Age of Ultron, Superman and Batman!
Superman
what
and Batman.
What about that? That is the biggest story, in my opinion.
Are going to be in a movie together, for those of you didn't
First
know.
Time ever, Superman and Batman are going to appear on screen for the first time. Which you think, these characters have been around for 75 years. You think for sure someone would put them together on television or something.
Isn't that the biggest question in sci-fi is who would win in a fight? No.
Okay.
All right. It's a good question, but it's not the biggest question.
Not the biggest. Okay.
And it sort of was answered in a comic book called The Dark Knight by Frank Miller, which...
well, you don't have to tell me.
Which they actually quoted at the panel announcing this. They read a little chapter of that. So we think it's going to be more Batman versus Superman than it is Batman and Superman.
Obviously.
Hmm.
Zack Snyder, David Goyer, everyone who did Man of Steel returning for this one. And I think Batman's going to show up and say... Why did you knock down so many buildings and kill so many people? You're a hobo. So we'll see what happens.
This seems to have been a very satisfying Comic-Con for almost everyone that went.
I think so. Were you really satisfied? Delivered. You were there. Were you satisfied, Bean?
Sure, but I didn't really have expectations. But I mean, just in terms of great news, great panels, great footage being shown. I mean, all the stuff that you get geeked about going into it, it all seems to have paid off, which is nice.
Everyone did seem very happy with the end results. Not least of which was a whole plethora of 1966 new Batman merchandise on the floor this year.
You don't have to tell us.
Oh, it's just shooting pictures everywhere, left and right. And Mattel is making a replica Adam West utility belt that you can wear around your waist. The real deal, Neil.
A real size one?
Yes.
Wow, you're going to wear that, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my God. There's no
hope. I got to buy one to display and one to wear. That's the thing. I got to buy doubles now of everything because I got to take some of this stuff out of the package and play with it, right?
Oh, you don't take it out of the package. I thought that was the cardinal rule.
That's why you buy doubles.
Oh.
Right. One to keep mint in package, one to get out there and play with because I got to play with Adam West.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know how I am.
Yeah.
All right.
I do know how you are.
Let's talk about the movies over the weekend, see what people went to see. The big winner for the weekend was The Conjuring. People like to be scared. Managed to rack up over $41 million in ticket sales. Number one at the box office this weekend.
That's a lot of money, by the way.
It is.
For what I assume was a very inexpensive movie to make.
For a mid-sized horror film, it did
very well.
You're
all going to die tonight.
Yeah. This is the true story that the Amityville Horror was based on. These are paranormal investigators who go to this farmhouse and have to try to help this family get rid of the evil spirits that are inside. And,
how'd that go?
Not so well, apparently, for them. They end up pretty terrorized. Despicable Me 2 was number two at the box office with $25.1 million. Turbo did better than expected, which means it didn't suck, but it made a little over $21 million. Made it number three at the box office. Grown Ups 2, still in the top five at $20 million.
How was that, Kevin?
Didn't see it.
What? Even Kevin said no.
What? Come on.
Red 2, in its debut, only made $18.5 million.
That's the one I saw.
What'd you think?
It was good.
But not nearly as good as Red 1?
No.
No.
I mean, it was good. It was very cartoonish, but good.
Pacific Rim was sixth. R.I.P.D. was D.O.A. at the B.O. $12.8 million in its debut.
Wow.
Yeah, that
hurts.
That's a failure. The Heat was eighth, World War Z and Monsters University with $5 million. Let's give a 21 penis salute to John Casablancas.
How do we do that?
Well, we find, you and me find 19 of our friends.
Okay.
And we all whip it out. Because he has done more for erections than almost anyone else in the entertainment industry.
Why, who is he?
John Casablancas, Kevin, was the pioneering agent who ushered in the age of the supermodel. He was the founder of Elite Model Management, helped launch the careers of the following: Cindy Crawford, Naomi Campbell, Claudia Schiffer, Heidi Klum, Gisele Bündchen, Andie MacDowell. I mean, if there was a popular model in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, he was pretty much behind them.
I sort of have a boner.
He did a lot for us. God bless him. Passed away at the age of 70 after a long battle with cancer in his home in Rio de Janeiro. So, good guy. And, you know, Julian Casablancas, the Strokes lead singer, is his son.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So, the guy did a lot for men who like women.
And they made that movie, Casablancas, based on their family.
That's right. He also built the Tesla automobile. And documentary filmmaker Michael Moore and his longtime wife, Kathleen Glynn, are calling it quits after 21 years of wedded bliss. Can you imagine? Now, I like the man's movies. Can you imagine being married to Michael Moore?
No.
Nope.
That can must be exhausting.
Can you imagine having a grocery shop for Michael Moore? That was the problem. She's just exhausted having to go to the supermarket every day.
The two have no children together, and they're going to file their papers in the home state of Michigan. Apparently, they'll be able to go their separate ways during a final hearing on September the 10th. Very easy to get a divorce there in Michigan. Just ask Detroit. They divorced themselves from all their money. And I gave you the bad side of marriage. How about the good side? Congratulations to Jesse Tyler Ferguson of Modern Family. How great is he on that show?
He's great. By the way?
Super entertaining. He married his boyfriend, Justin Mikita, over the weekend. As you can imagine, a lot of his co-stars from Modern Family were there, as were Jerry O'Connell and Rebecca Romijn. Quite the bash. Apparently, it was a very fun event with food like BLTs and short ribs instead of like steak and chicken. And lots of drinks, and everyone had a great time. So congratulations to those guys. And while we're talking drugs and alcohol, everyone needs to batten down the hatches. Word has just come down. Amanda Bynes has left New York City.
Uh-oh.
They say she caught a flight for...
Uh-oh.
Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Hurricane Amanda's on its way, people. Get to the storm cellars. Who knows what's going to happen? She really ticked off the staff of the Ritz-Carlton Hotel in New York City last week by smoking pot in her room. Also, she told the front desk attendant that she was...
Can I guess?
Sure.
Beautiful.
Nope.
Oh.
Too ugly to check her in.
Not just ugly, but
when she was checking into the hotel, she told the woman behind the desk, "You're too ugly to check me in."
That's awesome.
Doesn't the manager at that point come out and go, "We're all too ugly to check you in. Keep moving."
Doesn't a hunter come out of the potted plants in the lobby at that point and just sink a trank dart in the back of her neck and they just throw a net over her and put her in the happy home?
That's amazing.
She racked up to over $2,000 in room service charges.
How do you do that?
She basically...
Expensive wine or something?
No, the majority of what she ordered was nachos and fries, Kevin.
Wow.
That's a lot of nachos and fries.
Well, that's how you get your weight down to 100 pounds right there.
Look, when you're smoking that much pot, you got to get the munchies once in a while.
Yes. Yeah.
She was last seen headed to catch a flight to Los Angeles. So apparently,
now
she's
we don't know
our way.
Why she's coming though, right?
No, I mean, we don't.
There's no work that we're aware of.
Well, I'm sure she's going to be working on her rap career.
Oh, right.
Please,
okay.
Right? She's going to lay down some tracks.
Please
with
tell me that's going to happen.
Waka Flocka Flame. He said they're working together. It's going to happen. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Big, big, big list of big, big, big stars born today on July the 22nd. Game show host Alex Trebek. What is 73?
So you asked in the form of a question.
In the form of a question, exactly. George Clinton, 72 years old.
Former
today.
President?
No. No, he invented the Tesla automobile. Oh. Danny Glover is 67 years old. Don Henley turns 66. Actor, comedian, writer, genius. We don't see nearly enough of this man. Albert Brooks is 66 years old today. How about some more goddamn movies, Albert Brooks?
He's not in a rush.
Willem Dafoe's 58. David Spade is 49. John Leguizamo is also 49 today. Risa Fons from Spider-Man and Notting Hill, 46 years old. And actress Selena Gomez celebrates her 21st birthday today. Finally, she can have a drink.
Yes.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Comic-Con 2013 in the rearview mirror. We've got a bunch of stuff to tell you about it from this weekend on today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, Tom Cruise surprise appearance over the weekend. A lot of people didn't expect to see him there, but he was there talking up an upcoming movie. Metallica, we knew was going to be there, but aren't they the least likely guys you would ever expect to see at a place like Comic-Con?
You certainly don't think Metallica when you think Comic-Con.
No.
They have a new movie coming out that is called Through the Never. It's coming out in IMAX 3D on, I guess, late September is when it's coming out. And it's a concert movie, but it's also got a story, too. It's also got a plot. And I guess, Kevin, you got a chance to get some more insight into this, right?
All right. We're here with Lars Ulrich, of course, of Metallica. I've read a lot about Through the Never. I've seen the trailer. I don't have any idea what it is.
And you know what? I've been dealing with this movie for 3 years. I don't have any idea what it is either.
Try to explain it to me. Please.
I've heard myself use the following word a lot today, ambiguous.
There's
a big word. So if you look at Hetfield's lyrics and all that stuff over the years, I mean, if there's anything that we advocate in Metallica, and believe me, it's not much, but if there's anything we advocate, then it is that you sort of figure it out for yourself. So instead of me sitting here and carving it out in stone or having the trailer or any of this stuff sort of explain, we like to be a little more abstract and a little more... sort of, you know, loose around the edges, I guess.
If you wanted to, could you explain it to me?
Well, yeah, okay. It's the story of a guy named Trip. And Tripp is played by the wonderful Dane DeHaan. And Tripp is what we in our world would call a runner. And he works at the Metallica gig at the local Enormo Dome. And he is sent on an errand to go out and retrieve something for the band. And then his evening goes sort of horribly wrong. And so it's his story, and you follow him through his escapades, and then you sort of keep cutting back to the Metallica show that sort of unfolds in real time. That's probably the easiest way to explain it. It's really more about Tripp and about his kind of his tenacity and his kind of wanting to fulfill this errand. And there's a particular bag that has something in it that he holds on to for dear life, and I probably shouldn't say much more than that.
Do we ever find out what that is?
I believe that Dane DeHaan may be the only person on the planet who knows what's in that bag, and he may take that to his grave.
Is it? Would you say it's easier to make something ambiguous or more difficult to make something?
We spent a lot of time wading through Hollywood, meeting A-list directors, and trying to find somebody who would undertake this journey. You know, I figured out that when you go to Hollywood and you try to explain something to them that has no real point of reference, because the movie that we wanted to make had no, you know, you sort of sit there and go, it's Saving Private Ryan meets Star Trek. People can sit there and go, we can put that together. Do you know what I mean? But if you sit there and go, you know, we want to make a movie that is set in a concert setting, it has a dramatic narrative to it, and it, you know, is played out on this big stage that all this shtick from, you know, Metallica's 30-year career. You know, all these directors and all these, you know, Hollywood executives that I met with all looked at me like I came from some other planet. And so when I finally met Nimrod, who sort of just nodded along and said, you know, I'm in. That sounds really fun. He kind of had a...
Did you see that he got it right away?
Well, he had a... You know, what I like to say is that he has a kind of a madness in his eyes. He just felt game, and he was into it. But Nimrod went away for 3 months, created the character of Tripp, created this whole story. And then we sat and read the script, and it was crazy and full of energy and abstract, just action stuff. And Tripp was somebody who we could really identify with, who was kind of a loner, a little bit of an outcast, but somebody who was still had a particular kind of belief in something and a mission and something. And we felt that he was sort of – the hardest thing to do is, you know, define a Metallica fan.
Right.
And if you put 10 of them up against that wall, you're going to get 10 very different people. But Tripp felt like the sort of typical Metallica fan. And so we went along with it, and Nim was game, and we were all game, and off we embarked on this crazy adventure.
You know, you talked about how hard it was to bring it to Hollywood, the idea, because it was hard to categorize, you know, in a commercial way. Did you relate to that when you guys first tried to start Metallica? Did you have a hard time really bringing it to mainstream music executives and things, you know, because it kind of had elements of punk aggression, but yet it had, you know, classic metal to it, and you were new to the scene. Did you guys struggle with that in the same way?
I mean, we've always felt like outsiders. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, when I try to figure out Metallica's place in all this, I look at Metallica as living in our own bubble, and we don't cater to anybody else's fashions or waves or trends or any of that type of stuff. We just kind of exist in our own, you know, we're very independent. And fortunately, we're very grateful and appreciative of the fact that we're also sort of financially independent, so we don't have to kind of go and knock on doors and get, you know, financial partners and all that type of stuff. So right. We can sort of embark on all these crazy things on our own, and we don't have anybody sitting there finger whacking us and telling us what we can and can't do. We finally figured it. I mean, this has been a 3-year journey, and we've learned a lot. You know, the bottom line is that Metallica loves to throw itself out into these kind of I guess, uncomfortable, kind of out of our safe zone, out of our comfort zone. And you know, so we go and get inspired and kind of, you know, invigorated by all this craziness. And then we go back into our own little Metallica world and make another record and do our thing. And it's kind of great that we can go on all these crazy journeys.
This movie is coming out late September. Is that right?
September, the fourth week is September 27th. Yeah.
And it's going to be an IMAX, 3D, the whole thing? Is that?
Yeah, we got we actually have a deal, which is pretty cool. It's playing on every single IMAX screen in North America exclusively for the first week.
Oh, that's
which
awesome.
Which is a first time for that. And then the next week, the second week, it goes wide, as the term is. I've learned so much movie lingo.
I'll bet.
It goes wide. ladies and gentlemen, goes wide the second week.
And it is sound. Is the sound more impressive?
We've been dealing with the sound the last month.
That's got to be huge.
Yeah, we locked picture a month ago. And
locked picture.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and now we're dealing with – we've been doing the sound grind. We're almost done. Next comes color correction. And considering this movie's coming out in 6 weeks, it's pretty amazing that it's it's this close down to the wire. But that's kind of how we make records.
But I would think the sound would be the most important thing to you guys. I mean, I'm sure that the visuals are as well. But at heart, you're a band. You make music. You want to sound good. No.
Yeah, I guess. No. Of course, we want it to sound good. But there, I can't say one's more important. I mean, they're all. You know what I figured out is that they say that there's three movies. There's the movie that's written in the pages, then there's the movie that you shoot, and then there's a movie you put together in what's called post. And I can definitely attest to that. And the post has been going on for about a year. So if you compare post to when you make records as the mix, well, the mixing is a much shorter piece of it. You know, mixing is like 10%.
Right.
You know, in movie making, like the post is like 50% or maybe even more. So it's all this crazy stuff. And it's been really cool to sit there and be part of the editing and be part of the special effects. And it sounds like, I mean, insanely great. And on all these crazy systems we've been mixing up at Paramount the last couple of days or the last couple of weeks where they did the last James Bond film and the last couple of Tom – I mean this is like – there are no movie theaters that sound this good. But right. I'm glad I'm in this space right here because the minute it's playing down on my street, you know, it's like a little rinky-dinky system. But it's pretty cool. You know, the 3D element is really to try to get a little more depth in there. It's not so much like here's the – drumstick in your face type of corny stuff.
Now, you have such a beefy catalog. Why the song Through the Never for the title? Did it have any relation to the movie?
Again, I'll play my ambiguous card. Right. You know, we wanted – there was a bunch of different things. We felt that too many of the titles we came up with kind of defined it too much, or that sounds too much like a horror film, or that sounds too much like an action film or whatever. And Through the Never just sounded so weird and random and abstract that it seemed like a cool title.
And why did you decide Comic-Con to be the place to roll out the press?
In case you hadn't noticed, it's sort of the premier place in the United
States. The thing to do.
Yeah. To do this. This is kind of the cool place to do this in America. I mean, let's not BS each other. Yeah. People here are real fans. It's real people that are really passionate about this. And ultimately, we identify a lot with – we're psyched to be here, but we're also psyched that people have been – it's been really cool today. People have been really friendly and embracive, and it's not, you know, a bunch of like 60-year-old music critics sitting around right. belittling you and smoking cigarettes without filters and stuff. You know, it's like it's people that actually really care about what you're doing, you know.
Lars, good luck. Sounds like a great thing. I can't wait
Thank
to see
you.
It.
Yeah, we'll be rolling through L.A. right when this thing is unleashed on the world, so hopefully we'll see you again.
You are running out of time, by the way, to get your brand-new K-Rock sticker. Stick it on your car and fill out the back or enter online to win a private performance with Linkin Park for you and 10 friends, plus a $500 Hot Topic gift card. By the way, our man Beer Mug is going to be out in Northridge today from 1 until 3 o'clock. You can join K-Rock and Beer Mug at the Northridge Fashion Center starting at 1 o'clock today. And Mugs, you also bring tickets. You got Epicenter, Postal Service, Uproar Festival, a lot of K-Rock music, other prizes. So pretty good deal. Get those details at K-Rock.com.
So, as you know, we were at Comic-Con this weekend, and Psycho Mike was down there with me, and we were wandering the floor, the main floor.
Yes.
And Saturday is the day when everyone dresses up, and there were just so many different people. We don't even have time to highlight most
of
them.
And by the way, point out to the kids, Kevin, what you were saying as we saw people all around San Diego in those costumes.
Yeah, for 5 minutes, it's awesome, and then you're in that costume for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Right, you're gotta walking be around. A bummer.
You're walking around like a phone booth from Doctor Who for 12 hours, and you're thinking, what am I doing with my life, right?
This is a threesome that we interviewed, Batwoman, Supergirl, and Wolverine. And it just, they started getting into a fight over who could beat who in a fight, which is basically the argument that every, you know, Comic-Con person has. Mm-hmm. Would your character beat my character?
All right, so who are we talking to today?
Batwoman,
Supergirl,
and Wolverine.
Three of the more common superheroes here at Comic-Con. We've seen a lot of people who try to dress up as some of the more obscure characters. What do you think about dressing up as the more common characters?
Well, Batwoman, I've only met one more, so she's common but a little bit obscure.
Could you have kicked that Batgirl's ass?
Yes.
No.
Joker.
No, Joker couldn't.
She was older than
Dude,
me.
Dude, Batgirl totally kicked your ass in the Batwoman, no. Batgirl comic book cover.
The other Batwoman cosplayer here.
Oh, my God.
What's happening?
What is happening?
They got into a big argument over when and which comic, who beat who up, and what could they do, and one girl was talking about the other person there in costume. The other person was talking about the comic book series. I don't know. Then a guy walked up to us wrapped in bubble wrap. That was
that
his costume.
Sounds comfy.
His entire body wrapped in bubble wrap. And Mike and I, we'll be honest, we're not, you know, we don't know a lot about this world. So we have to find out exactly what who he's dressed as. Maybe it's an obscure comic book reference or something like that. We're here with Safety Bubble Wrap Man. What is this exactly?
Hello. I'm from Dude, Where's My Car? And I'm a follower of Zoltan.
So, that's a pretty specific.
Out of all the stuff to pull from in sci-fi and comic books, you went with Dude, Where's My Car?
Why not? I'm looking for the Continuum Transfunctioner.
And how's that going?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm looking for, but...
All right, good.
I love him.
Yeah, odd. You can see the video. We put up a video of the highlights of us on the Comic-Con floor at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. You can watch these people. There's a lot more, too, that we didn't have time for. This guy has a very, very long beak. That's it.
His costume?
That's the costume. Regular clothing. Probably his beak stuck out a foot from his face.
Oh, God.
And he was just walking around like that. What's happening here?
Well, a lot of people are dressed up.
No, I don't mean in general. I mean with you specifically.
Well, right now we're just exploring the floor because this is going to have to be our last day.
Mm-hmm. What more specifically is your costume?
My costume is a...
Now, here's where you go, okay, is it going to be obscure?
Mm-hmm.
Might I know? Should I know what it is? Mm-hmm. Might I even be able to recognize at all what the reference is?
Plague Doctor, they're kind of like doctors for the bubonic plague in the late 15th century.
What?
Yeah. He's a plague doctor.
Why did plague doctors have beaks?
From the late 15th century.
During the Dark Ages. I got the idea from the costume in my history class. I mean, it's not from any pop culture kind of things, but it has been in Assassin's Creed after that.
Have you ever thought of using it for anything else other than just a costume? Perhaps a lovemaking tool?
No, I have not thought about it for that, but it could be interesting.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
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 You know what I'm saying?
See what he's saying?
You know what I mean?
I got it.
Okay. All right. Just want to make sure. All right. Thanks, dude.
Most of these people couldn't talk.
It could be interesting if I could ever make love.
Guy got the costume idea from history class.
Yeah.
Right.
And we found out by talking to him more that he's had this costume for like 4 years.
Oh, so he's just lazy.
Yeah. Like he made it for Halloween or something and had nothing to do with Comic-Con. He just decided to put it on.
All right.
But most of these people, their mouths were covered and they couldn't talk. And it was just, what a bizarre grouping of people. And they were so thrilled. That's the thing about Comic-Con. Everybody there is so happy to be there.
Yeah, that's amazing.
More than any other event that we've ever been to, I
but
think.
But when that person with his beak goes back home to live in, you know, in Phoenix or something, everybody's going to look at him like he's a weirdo. You go to Comic-Con, all of a sudden you can let your freak flag fly and everybody loves it.
Yeah, but even at Comic-Con, the doctor from the 15th century is looked at kind of like But he was thrilled. He was super happy to be there and everybody else was. And we had a great time. I got to tell you, it is the least, judgmental group of people on the planet. Just whatever you want to go as. Fantastic.
Yep, everything goes.
And we're having a great time. We're all happy to be here. A lot of the costumes sucked. No one cares. It's just they're all thrilled. And the energy is super positive. We had a good time this weekend.
That's great.
So thanks, everybody. If you want to see the video, you can go to kevinandbean.com and check.
Here's some deep background on the guy from the 15th century with the plague costume.
Yes,
the
please.
Doctor plague costume.
Uh-huh.
This listener, Alex, says the beak was designed to keep the infection away from the mouth and nose of the doctors. The theory was that the plague virus would be unable to travel to the mouth and nose as it was so far away when entering the beak holes.
Okay.
So they thought that out.
Okay, but what I'm saying is...
600 years later, who needs it?
He dressed up as that guy.
Right.
And that's not what people are looking for necessarily at Comic-Con.
Right. Speaking of Comic-Con, we did catch up with our good friend Patton Oswalt. You'll hear that next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Chris Harrison, host of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, joins us later on as well. Right now, though, will you look at the time, Kevin? Looks like we have to go. I'm sorry.
No, I think we're good. We're good plenty with the time.
Yeah. Thanks for that tweet.
Bean!
Lots of time.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean!
So, Ralph.
Sweet Jesus.
We were talking to Bean over the weekend about people who tweet too much.
Yeah. Were you?
Yeah. And Bean doesn't like to tweet too much. He doesn't like to overwhelm people.
No.
So he used the sentence, and then I want you to consider the sentence as you read some of these tweets that Bean has sent out.
All right.
I like to use discretion with my tweets.
I heard him say that.
So he saves it up really just for the good ones.
Yep.
Two or three a day is his average because he likes to use discretion.
Ah, I see.
And
I stand by that.
He doesn't want to tweet out meaningless stuff.
That's accurate.
He doesn't.
Only the gold. Rob.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Bean, when he went on vacation, went to England, which gave him a whole new culture to tweet about, a whole new framework to send meaningless tidbits of information out to the world. And here's some of Bean's England tweets. England lost America, but totally rule it, understanding stand to the right, walk to the left, escalator etiquette. I call that a push.
Amen.
Is that a Revolutionary War joke?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was saying that they may have lost America, but they gained something even better, which is that they know how to get up and down a goddamn escalator, which we don't seem to have figured out in this country yet.
He's tweeting
very impressed by that.
Riding on an escalator.
Huh.
Because
that was saved. That's the gold he saved up.
Yeah. They stand to the right, walk to the left,
discretion.
The way it should
right.
be.
Just, well, very. Oh, that was. I'm glad you saved up for that one. Fun UK fact.
Nope. You're not allowed to call anything fun. That's for us to decide.
I am told that none of these are on the island anymore. Deer, rattlesnakes, bears, wolves, raccoons, or skunks. That's it.
Now,
that's all there was.
That's not interesting.
That's not interesting.
Oh.
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean!
If you need me the rest of the day, I'm at Christmas World, floor 3 at Harrods.
What, this is your last vacation in July?
This was last week, yeah. Yeah, they have the Christmas store open at Harrods, so I spent quite a bit of time there, because you know how I love Christmas.
And by the way, I know Bean's mind, to him, that was a burn on everyone.
Such a burn.
Yeah.
Everyone was
what
like,
are you doing?
Oh my God, I wish I was at Christmas World where Bean is and not where I am.
Can't comprehend, nobody wants to be there.
I bought so many ornaments.
That's right.
Tweet.
I bought so many ornaments.
I did.
Dear Apple Autocorrect, 15 years later, do you really think we're trying to type Hogwarts instead of Hogwarts? Really? Is that a problem? Is that a problem people have?
Yes, it is. Look, here's what I'm saying, is that there ought to be some sort of human oversight on autocorrect, where after 20,000 times they have to correct one thing into another thing, they should realize that people are trying to type the one thing.
So yeah, it's true, because you're constantly writing effing Hogwarts all day long.
Yeah.
How annoying it must be.
How did that come up? And it must have come up more than once
all
for you.
All the times you need to type Hogwarts over and over again, and it just won't autocorrect properly.
Exactly. Thank you, Ralph. You see my point.
Kill yourself!
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean!
I use discretion.
Yeah, here's Bean being sensitive, too, as well as discreet.
Oh,
about,
good.
About the recent death of Glee star Corey Monteith.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
There's a terrific heroin songs playlist on Spotify if Glee is looking for tribute songs for next season. That's
because
sweet.
On
That's
Glee
cute.
They do all
really?
Sorts of
yeah,
little
Yeah, we get
songs.
It. B, we get it.
That's adorable.
We understand it.
It's not really funny or
no, it's a tragic situation, but if
Well, he should have thought about that before he was on heroin, shouldn't he?
So, yeah.
That's the sensitive side of B. Yeah.
Make fun of your lady all you want, but if 37 people at once want to sleep at your house, you'll have enough pillows on the bed for everyone. See, it's a girls put a lot of pillows on the bed chunk. That's
Thank
what that
you,
is
Al.
Right there.
Thank
that
you.
Is some fresh
discretionary tweeting right there. Because finally, someone is coming up with a comic take on the fact that women like to throw a lot of pillows around the house. Why hasn't any comedian thought of doing a joke about that before?
Exactly.
And this is the stuff you save up for.
This is discretion.
Right?
Which means,
not so much from you, the woman.
Which means the bad stuff and just the average stuff he edits out.
That goes by the wayside.
Right.
But the hilarious, geez, women sure like to put pillows on a lot of furniture. That made it through the editing process.
Exactly.
You might be missing the point here, Bean.
How do you live with yourself?
That's that
tweet.
One of our longtime Kevin and Bean listeners has embarked on the project of a lifetime. We can't wait to share it with you. Coming up right after the top of the hour, K-Rock listener Nick is going to be joining us in studio coming up. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning.
He's like mother effing Tupac.
He is. That's what I hear.
It is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office, starting with number one, The Conjuring. Surprise hit this weekend, $41.5 million for this horror movie.
Who's in that, Ralph?
Patrick Wilson, Vera Farmiga.
Satan. Oh, okay.
Who's the guy from The Office? Ron Livingston.
Yeah. You are all going to die tonight.
Yeah, scary, scary film that people went to in droves. Despicable Me 2 was number two this weekend, appropriately enough. Turbo. See, he's a snail, but he wants to go fast.
Does he go fast.
And he gets his wish, and then he gets to compete in the Indy 500.
His dream is to win it.
Genius.
He's a snail.
$21.5 million made it number three in its debut. Grown Ups 2 was fourth, then Red 2. $18.5 million in its debut weekend made it number five. Pacific Rim was sixth. RIPD, the other Ryan Reynolds movie out this week, made $12.8 million at the box office. Made it number seven. That's officially a bomb. The Heat was eighth. World War Z, ninth, and Monsters University rounding out the top 10. Congratulations to Kanye West. His rap song, New Slaves, contains the best rap verse of all time, it's been declared.
What?
What?
Yeah. The New Slaves' second verse, called the best rap verse of all time.
That's quite a category.
You don't want to know who called it that?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Was it a blue ribbon panel of rap experts and historians?
Let me see what it says here. Kanye West, New Slaves, second verse dubbed the best rap verse of all time by, Kanye West.
He said it on his own song.
Yeah, Kanye West said that. Yeah.
All right.
He tweeted, that portion of the song is the best rap verse of all time in the history of rap music, period. He tweeted.
Well, I think of all time pretty much says that.
Well, he wanted to make sure in case you misunderstood. The second verse, for those of you who aren't familiar with New Slaves, off of his new album, Yeezus, goes like this. I throw these Maybach keys. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I know that we, the new slaves, I see the blood on the leaves. I see the blood on the leaves. I see the blood on the leaves. I know that we, the new slaves, I see the blood on the leaves. They throwing hate at me. Want me to stay at ease. F you and your corporation. Y'all N-words can't control me. I know that we the new slaves. I know that we the new slaves.
That's the best?
Well, listen, you heard,
of all time?
You can tell just by listening to that. It's the greatest rap verse of all time.
That's not even the best rap verse in that song.
Well, some people would disagree with you. Some people being Kanye West.
He's just.
I am the number one human being in music.
Okay. Yeah.
That means any person that's living or breathing is number two.
Hurry up with my damn croissants!
Well, anybody who's breathing, I think, needs to see a doctor.
He's discounting.
Don't think I forgot, let you slide, let me ride, just another homicide. Yeah, it's me, so I'm a talk on, stomping on easy streets that you can walk on, so strap on your cubs and hat your locks. Oh, Loke.
Yeah!
Huh?
That's a rap verse.
That's not better?
Yeah.
He obviously didn't hear that. Represent!
That's right. Represent indeed. Meanwhile, Kanye's, I guess you call her a mother-in-law, even though they're not married. Kris Jenner is making the news as well. Her new talk show.
Canceled?
No, not yet.
Oh.
Although it has been called, let's see, critics have called the show horrible, boring, self-involved, and downright unwatchable. In fact, one critic, Linda Stasi from the New York Post, wrote recently that Kris Jenner has as much right hosting a talk show as her talentless daughter had hosting a talent show.
Wow.
Regarding Khloe's stint on The X Factor. Well, it turns out that Thursday, Kris Jenner sent Linda Stasi a $325 Tiffany pen and a box of cupcakes, and then encouraged her to write a better review next time.
Oh, that'll work.
What?
She sent her a pen and some cupcakes saying, write a better review next time.
Hey, we're saying her TV show sucks too.
Yeah, why don't we get pens and cupcakes? And this is my favorite piece of news today. Farrah Abraham, the backdoor teen mom. You remember
Farrah
her?
Farrah Abramson?
No, Farrah Abraham, Kevin. She is best known, I guess, for getting pregnant as a teenager and then opening up the aft porthole.
Yes, that's correct.
I think that's how you probably know her best. Well, everyone is talking about this Trayvon Martin situation. George Zimmerman, of course, found not guilty, and that caused a lot of very passionate responses in a lot of people.
The president came out and talked about it.
And Farrah Abraham is no exception.
Oh, excellent.
Well, look, she's an American. She's entitled to her opinion, Kevin.
I don't know what to think until she weighs in, so I'm glad.
In a most recent radio interview that she did, the host of the radio show asked Farrah what she thought about the situation, and I thought she had an interesting take.
What do you think about Trayvon Martin?
I feel like I've met her or something. That sounds so familiar. I mean, I don't know what she is, so I mean, I can't picture the person with the name right now.
All right.
Yeah, she thinks she met her, but she can't remember what she did right now to become famous. But she's pretty sure that she met the lovely Trayvon Martin.
Was she in the Twilight movies?
Heard the name, but who is she? Who is she, that Trayvon Martin?
She's the best.
Oh my god!
How do you avoid the story? How do you live amongst human beings and not just through osmosis find out what's happening?
God, you're dumb.
It's a good question.
And you know what? Next time, just say, I don't know.
Just say, I don't know. People are afraid to say, I don't know.
Don't try to fake it, because then you call Trayvon Martin a woman, and then you look really dumb. Today's celebrity birthday, Selena Gomez is 21 years old today. Nothing wrong with that. Risa Fonz from Notting Hill. That's where he got his big break. He played the wacky roommate. Remember?
Skinny guy?
Yeah. Loved then it. He played the lizard in The Amazing Spider-Man. 46 years old today. John Leguizamo is 49. David Spade, also 49 today. Actor Willem Dafoe. We have two Spidey villains today. We've got the Green Goblin and we got the Lizard. It's a good day.
It's like Comic-Con hasn't even ended.
That's right. Willem Dafoe is 58 years old. Albert Brooks is 66. Don Henley, also 66. Danny Glover is 67 years old today. George Clinton, legendary funk singer, is 72. And Alex Trebek of Jeopardy fame, 73 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes after 7 o'clock. It's about to get loud.
Hey. Pat Maswell joins us later this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, and Chris Harrison talks Bachelor and Bachelorette. First, ladies and gentlemen, one of our longtime Kevin and Bean listeners, one of our favorites, please welcome Nick to the studio. Hi, Nick.
Hey, it's great to be back.
Nick,
it's
we met to have you. When he, what was it? How did we meet you? You were a sign holder?
Yes, I was a sign holder, 2006.
One of those guys that, has a Subway sign out on the street or whatever? Who did you do it for?
For eight singular, then AT&T.
Phone company, all right.
Yeah, and then since we last spoke, I got rehired, then fired again. And then the store closed.
They rehired you and then fired you again?
No, they rehired me. I worked for a year, then they had to let me go because they couldn't afford me. Then the store closed.
I gotcha.
So, like, my old store that I worked at for years is, like, no more.
Gone.
What are you doing now, Nick?
For a job. I have a website now.
No, but what are you doing for a job?
Oh. Yeah, for money.
I'm hoping to get a job out of this website, among other things.
Okay. All right, so you're sponging off your parents.
Let's not go there.
Okay.
Well, that's a yes. All right.
Let's talk about the website, because let me give some background here. Nick has been telling us for about the last year that he had a campaign to bring back his favorite TV show of all time. And we said, good luck with that. And he was a dog with a bone, man. Every time we talked to him, he's like, I'm working on the website, you guys. And we're like, how long does it take to put up a website? He's like, trust me, it takes a while. And then we talked to him like 3 months later. What's going on with the website, Nick? We're getting close. We've got more to do, but it's coming. Well, today's the day that it is finally live. It is finally available to the public. And you will, I don't care who you are, you will never live long enough to read everything on this website.
But
do try, yes.
50, am I right about this, Nick? 54 chapters of material on the website.
That's just like, that's not including the bio. Because my webmaster said, you know, he also wanted me to write a bio about myself, and besides, like, saving the show.
Okay.
Right, now, when you say,
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's talk about the show.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what's the passion here that has driven you to write a million words on the internet.
Now, before you tell us the show, this has worked.
Yes, it
Remember
has.
This worked with Family Guy.
Have worked.
Family Guy is one of those that got canceled and then got a lot of fan fave, and everybody was crying to get it back, and so it came back.
I actually looked up on Wikipedia shows that came back from cancellation. It's a lot.
It is a lot.
Yeah. There have been quite a few. Yeah, Star Trek, for God's sakes, the original Star Trek is one that the fans managed to get back on for a third.
All right, now tell us the TV show that you're so obsessed with that it must come back.
I'm doing a website called The Playboy Club Lives to bring back The Playboy Club. Yay!
Which was canceled 2 years ago?
It feels like forever. It feels like I've been...
No, it feels like forever because it has been forever.
It feels like Hollywood has become a desert of mediocrity without it.
Right.
Yes.
Now, is this just because of your love of Amber Heard? And by the way, if that's the answer, fine.
Well...
She's all good.
That, and I like the entire cast. I think the entire cast is, perfect. I've never seen chemistry.
But the Playboy, I never watched it because I heard it was terrible.
You're part of the problem, B.
wasn't that a show that was on for, four episodes, and then it was one of the first shows canceled that season, Nick?
Well, it was, the most hyped show of that season, and it was, a really big deal in the hype. Everyone, they were really trying to push. They had really big expectations for that.
Right, but then how many made it?
3 episodes, but there's also 4 episodes that currently are not... They made 4 more episodes, but they haven't aired them yet or released them.
Four episodes of this show aired.
No, 3 aired, 4
That's what
left.
I was saying!
No, but they have to get released. I have to see them. I am... going crazy about them.
Now, Nick, this is odd because no one really had time to even realize that show was on before.
To really fall in
love.
Now, it got canceled. So,
okay, well, I'm coming in now. It's different now. I'm coming in, you know.
It's different because you're coming in. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
But, Nick, besides the 4 unaired episodes that you would like to see released on DVD, and I'm sure that will happen at some point, you don't really expect that they're going to bring this TV show back, though. You know that everybody involved, including all the actors and actresses on the show, have moved on to do other things now, right?
I think I can save it. I can save it.
You can save it?
I can. Yes, I'm just that confident.
But, Nick, let me just back up again. They only aired 3 episodes.
I don't care. I want it back. And that's another thing. It's like I've just become so disillusioned with Hollywood without it because it's like... Amber's my favorite actress, and I love this cast, and I was tweeting this cast for months about this site.
But you probably used too many characters, and they never sent.
No, I got a couple responses.
Nick is long-winded.
I got a couple responses, yes. And that's another thing. A lot of the tweets, I sent a lot of tweets because I had a lot to say.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Nick, by the way, the website, if you want to check it out, if you have that kind of time, is playboyclublives.com.
I challenge any one of you to make it through.
It is inspired by Tron Legacy, the Flynn Lives website.
Right.
I love Tron.
But Amber wasn't in Tron.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? One of my hero, I have a new hero, and it's Joseph Kaczynski, the director of Tron and Oblivion. I actually wrote that. I kind of picture him as Hugh Hefner on the show. And in my imagination, it's because they didn't show Hef. I just picture him as Hugh Hefner because he looks and sounds exactly like young 1961 Hugh Hefner, and he's the coolest guy ever.
That's a good story. Nick, why is the Playboy Club something you call the unicorn of fiction? What does that mean?
It's the best thing ever. It's my favorite story ever. Ever, ever, ever.
Wow, where do we start? This was 2 years ago. All right, let me just ask you this question, then we need to take a break. Aren't you afraid that since it got canceled after 3 episodes, okay, they made 4 more that are in the can that we haven't seen yet, but it got canceled, and then there wasn't a big groundswell.
There's now.
But right. It's just you, though, Nick.
But then there wasn't. You're it. And so all of the actors and actresses have now moved on probably 2-3 jobs past that.
Well, I also said that if they bring it back, it doesn't have to come back as a weekly series without no end in sight. There's a lot of ways to bring it back. It doesn't have to be 10 years worth of material,
How many do you need?
Well, that's another thing. On the side, I actually wrote that I wanted to write the new version of the story, the continuation.
Okay. There you go.
So you wanted to come back and you want to be the writer.
Yes, so I'm a writer. That's kind of the idea, you know?
I think that sounds very reasonable, and I think that's how Hollywood works.
it works like this. And I also wrote that I want to do a Kickstarter for the Playboy Club.
Okay, but here's the weird thing. No one in the Playboy Club is trying to do the Kickstarter for the Playboy Club.
I'm trying to do it.
Right, but so what's going to happen if people donate to Kickstarter, and then you're going to have money, but no one affiliated with the show is going to be back in it.
Well, no, I want to get the unaired episodes released first, and then after people see them and know that they're awesome and
how
that the show is awesome.
How do you know they're awesome?
I just know they are, because I really like this cast. I really like these characters. I really like this story. I am so sad without them.
But the episodes that aired weren't good enough to keep the show on
the
past
best
three
thing
shows.
Ever.
Are you is it possible that you're just horny?
There's a million reasons.
Right, but is that one of them?
Sure.
All right.
But it's not the reason.
All right. We need to take
a break. Did you ever go back and see the Mexican prostitute that took your virginity again? Or was that a one-time deal?
Actually, it's funny you mentioned that. My former friend, he kind of set that up at the time.
Right.
Here's what you didn't know about that.
Nick was a virgin.
Yeah, at the time. Basically, he took me down to Mexico. His intent was to call the Afro line and to tell you guys.
Right.
Because I was doing that reality show at the time. And basically, he was being very selfish, and he just called up the Afro line. And that's that's why you guys know about this, because my former friend was being very selfish about that.
Well, I didn't mean to bring up an ugly incident in your
past.
It's
okay. All right. It's in the past.
K-Rock listener Nick is here. The website is called PlayboyClubLives.com. More with our guest in a moment after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Former sign holder and longtime Kevin and Bean listener Nick is in studio with us right now. He's got a website called PlayboyClubLives.com. It's really not so much a website as it is a Unabomber manifesto.
And it's not so much on the internet as it is down.
It's down?
Yeah.
What do you mean it's down?
It crashed.
Oh, because
Because listeners are tuning in, trying to take a look at it. Yeah.
Somebody tweeted me that, and I just went to try and find it. It's gone.
It's not
Nick
there.
Is trying to get the show from 2011 called Playboy Club, trying to get it back on the air. It was canceled after airing only three times. He appears to be the only one who's interested in doing
all
that.
All it takes is one.
All it takes is one,
and then more people because of the one.
Yeah, it starts with one, maybe.
Yes, it starts with one.
But not all it takes is one.
Kevin to be listener Omar writes in, hey guys, can I copy and paste Nick's website onto another website and bring back Southland instead? That's an outstanding idea.
No, it's boring.
So Nick, all this stems, I know you like the show and the plot and the time period and the storyline. I know you like all that, but basically this stems from you wanting to have sex with Amber Heard, and we all
come
get
on,
that.
Let's be classy here.
Your admiration for her as an actress. Okay, but is there some other portion of your website where you express a great deal of displeasure about some of the career choices that Amber Heard has been making lately?
Well, okay, there's this... I don't want her to be the villainess in Machete Kills, and I know she is, and I don't like it. It makes me miserable. It brings me agony and sadness and dread.
Sadness, and dread because she's
an
in
actress.
A movie.
But that's because I hate Robert Rodriguez. I'm going to be very upfront.
How could you hate Robert Rodriguez?
Because he glorifies violence and
machete.
Because that's the thing. Here's the thing. I'm Hispanic. I'm half Hispanic.
No possible way, first of all.
I am half Hispanic.
All right.
And I like the first Machete because, it's all Hispanic pride, you know, because the Machete's killing all the bad guys. And I didn't care about any of the bad guys in the first movie. So Machete can just kill them all off, and I don't care. Be as violent as I can.
So Amber Heard is a bad guy?
Now when you put Amber as, like, Machete's villain and, like, Machete and his friends kill all the bad guys, it's like, that's really not cool. As a Hispanic, I really have a problem with that because I don't think it represents Hispanic pride well at all.
But the one where the Hispanic guy killed everyone, thumbs up.
It's thumbnails now. I don't like Machete anymore.
Amber Heard's going to be in the next one.
Yes, because I literally had a freak out when I found out this news.
What did that look like? Your freak out? What happened exactly?
I actually found out, it's like the night the Avengers came out, and I got the news over the internet, and I got really, it just kind of ruined my whole night, because like, it's like the opening night of the Avengers, I'm all excited, I'm all pumped up.
Right.
And then I get this news, and I'm just...
devastated.
I actually was crying the next day. Honest to God.
Literal tears.
Yes.
You were crying.
Yes, I was, and I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm not. Because here's the thing. I saw Sin City. I wanted to throw up when I saw Sin City. It literally
made
me nauseous.
Too sexy?
Because it's just a creepy, violent, really, really miserable
Jessica
movie.
Jessica Alba as a stripper. That's
who cares?
Tough to
who
watch.
Cares?
To see that.
Who cares?
I don't
who cares?
Look at that. Me.
I just don't like Robert Rodriguez, and I don't like Amber being like the villainess for Robert Rodriguez, because I just, he sucks.
Nick, let me just bring up a point again that Bean brought up, which is that she's an actress, and this this is a role. She's not literally going to die.
I get that, but it's just, I love my movies, and I just am tired of my hero having, I just don't want to be told to root against my hero. That's unnatural. It's unnatural, and I won't do it. I won't do it.
Okay. All right.
We're shockingly almost out of time here. What can the listeners do besides go to PlayboyClubLives.com when it comes back up, when it's not being so bombarded? What can they do to help you in your quest?
Okay, well, it's got a Facebook and a Twitter, and I'm going to need people like to join it, for one thing.
Okay.
And basically, any way to like get these episodes out professionally in any way possible, you know, I'm putting out the bat signal for that. Just get these episodes.
I'm not sure that's how the bat signal's used, but go ahead.
Well, I just need some help getting these episodes out.
Okay.
And then people will see them, and then they'll know if they're great.
Oh,
and
I then see. So step one is for them to watch
the
episode 4-7.
And that's another thing, because I just, after all this hard work, I just want to sit down and enjoy some quality Playboy Club again.
I think we know what you mean.
Yeah.
Is that involve a towel?
You are prepared for the fact that this probably isn't going to work, though. You do understand, when you launched this website last week, that the Playboy Club's probably not going to come back.
Oh, it's
going to
come back.
You're prepared for that, to accept
no.
though, right?
Okay, hold
no,
on.
No, I'm not.
All right, hold on. You're prepared that that's one of the options, including the option that it'll come back. One of the options is it's not going to come back.
I'm just optimistic.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Just optimistic.
All right. Okay.
I like my chances.
Okay. Right.
I like what I've done. I think this is the best writing I've ever done. I'm really proud of it. I'm just thrilled.
If this were a book,
the most writing you've
if this
ever
were
done.
A book, it would be a 1,000-page book.
And that's not even all of it. There's more that's not on the site yet. That's really
well.
Good
you better
stuff.
You better get home and get right to it, Nick, because your fans are waiting. Thanks so much for coming in. PlayboyClubLives.com is the website. Nick,
it's
we'll talk
best.
To you soon, my friend.
It is the best. Thank you, Nick.
Chris Harrison from The Bachelor and The Bachelorette joins us in studio in about 20 minutes. Ralph will be happy. We were at Comic-Con over the weekend, and here's the thing that I learned about Comic-Con, Kevin. There are too many shows, and too many movies, and too many comic books, and too many web series, and too many characters to keep up with. There's too much going on in the world, right?
But there's only one Patton Oswalt.
That's true.
Who's a friend of ours, and he's fantastic.
Yes.
And he's in a project that doesn't make, I mean, I think you have to be high.
No, really?
That would be my advice.
Okay.
Is if you're going to watch this show, perhaps you need to be high. And it's called The Heart She Holler. And we got a chance over the weekend to sit down with Patton Oswalt and talk to him about it.
Comic-Con 2013, Kevin Amicia. Why are you already laughing? We haven't even started, Patton Oswalt.
I just, there's something that you guys, when you guys' voices kick in, no matter
makes how, you sad.
No matter how upbeat you guys try to sound, I can hear the exhaustion and the exasperation underneath.
The sweat, the sadness.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, thanks, I guess.
When we walked in, Patton, you pointed at me and said, no, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Because I'm in the right now. Is this your first year at Comic-Con?
No.
We've been here many years.
Oh, don't get
it. We've been here for like 3 years.
We're no Ralph Garman, but we've paid our dues.
No, then this is Burning Man for shut-ins, okay? So where were you broadcasting? Were you out in the middle of all the traffic? Where were you?
No, we're at the Hard Rock Hotel.
Okay.
But in our defense, we're in a hallway.
You are in a hallway.
Yes.
So there were people wandering by with their costumes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we saw stormtroopers, if that's what you're asking us.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was wondering, yeah.
Well, these are your people, of course. You've been coming here since you were a boy.
Yeah, I might have been, I may have been born here for all I know. I used to come here in the 90s when it was not a big deal.
Yeah.
It was just a small part of the floor, and now, and then I just watched it turn into your movie succeeds or fails based on how the Nerd Mafia accepts it.
Is that because of assholes like us that jump on board late?
Partially. Can I just say partially?
I'm not
gonna lie to you guys.
Do you like it better now? Is it a more effective con now than it was back in the day, and for that reason you like it, or do you just, you kind of nostalgia and kind of miss the old times?
I'm torn. Here's why. It is very, very crowded, very, very hard to move around here. I don't do crowds. But I do love the fact that Hollywood, the people that are making the movies and TV shows I see, are seeking my opinion.
Right.
Like, they are coming after the 13-year-old in the bad Doc Ock costume. Like,
you've won.
Get his input. We need to make him smile. Like, that's the guy. So
you've absolutely won. This is your world now.
No, exactly. It is. Yeah. The war's over. We won.
Right. Now, we like most of the stuff on Adult Swim that we understand. What the f***?
You guys got lost by this show? Can you play the Does Kevin Know theme right now? Because I thought you would be right at home.
Patton, do this.
Why did we lose you guys?
Do this favor for our listeners and read this synopsis of your show called The Heart She Holler. Read that out loud and you tell us how we're supposed to follow that.
Okay. Watch Boss Hoss Heartsy wrap his grand grip from the grave around the throats of the Heartsy siblings' unsquashable lust for power. Man-child Herland is too dumb to fail. Hussy Hershey is too sleazy to slut her way to the top. And crazed Ambrosia may be too bat-spit bonkers to become a maniacal leader. Witness raw, uncooked emotion spew from your screen into your eyes and slide down your brain, landing in the broken toilet of our ruined society. Feel the mysteriousness creep up behind you. Laugh as you cry at our delightful demise. Scream till you die of televisual pleasure burns every single weeknight for the rest of your short, wonderful life.
All right, as Kevin asked so brilliantly, what the f***?
Yeah, it is basically, you know what this, here's what, how I describe, should I be holding the mic or should you?
You're moving it a lot.
Think of the worst Los Feliz or Williamsburg hipster.
All right.
And then think of what they think the South is. And then give them bath salts and tell them to describe it, and that's what this show is.
Put that on the poster. That's brilliant.
Yeah. That
should be the slogan.
I'm totally in. All right.
Have you seen any of the new episodes?
No.
Oh.
We can't wait.
Guys, okay. I predict that one of you will become hate/obsessed with the show.
Okay.
And every morning there will be some very just brief argument like what? Because every you should have a what was that fluid segment every morning in the month of September.
What was that fluid?
I've never seen more goo and different types of fluids and colloids in one show.
Okay.
That should be on the poster.
Yeah, you know how to sell a show, Pat.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Sorry, everyone. Tried to get my headphones to work. Come on, Kevin.
It's the world-famous K-Rock at 7:52.
I get my headphones to work. You know the process of putting on headphones? You take the headphones, you spread them apart, you put them over your ears, and then you release them.
No, his are special.
No, mine are all broken.
They have to be, like, programmed and
broken.
Stuff.
Yeah, well, look up at the
size of my head.
Look at the wraparound.
Yeah, that's probably the problem.
Ralph Garman, does our next guest in the 8 o'clock hour, does he have your dream job?
No. Because of this. You know, I am obsessed with The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. You know, it's right. One of my favorite television programs. And trust me, no one's more surprised than I am how much I've come to love this show.
We are.
But Chris Harrison has the most difficult job in television.
Ooh. Because?
Because
he has to pretend it all matters.
I know Chris a little bit, and we've had some chats, and I know that he has the same visceral reaction that I have to many of these men.
Oh, I see.
And yet, he's got to keep it all bottled up inside because he's got to be the pro's pro, and he's got to come out and say, this is the final rose. He's got to do that kind of stuff. He's got to be a host. But I know deep, deep inside what he wants to do is just slap some of these guys around. And that's why tonight's show is my favorite episode of each and every season, be it Bachelor or Bachelorette, is because this is the show where they take Harrison off the leash.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
And he's able to say whatever he wants?
Tonight, it's the men reveal all.
Okay.
And so he puts them in the hot seat, and he finally gets to open up and just be him and finally say the things that all of us have wanted to say to these people as we've watched all season long. So tonight really is my favorite moment in each and every season when we get to see Harrison just unload on some people.
He's been writing notes, keeping track.
Oh, yeah.
He's saving,
been saving
it all
some
up.
Stuff up. And all then right. we're going to get, like, Ben in the hot seat tonight. And my boy Chris is just going to blast.
All right.
Okay.
So it's good times.
Chris Harrison joins us in studio coming up next year on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Before I get to Showbiz news, how about some passes to yet another special K-Rock screening? This movie is something I like to call Two Guns.
Yay!
Starring Mark Wahlberg and Denzel
Washington. Why are you looking
out
of your arms when you say that, Ralph?
I was going to say, with Denzel and Wahlberg in the film that you called Four Guns. Boom, 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 boom.
This movie looks good.
Does look good. Paula Patton also stars Bill Paxton, Edward James Olmos. Story of a DEA agent and undercover naval intelligence officer have been tasked to investigate one another. Find they've been set up by the mob, the very organization the two men believe they've been stealing money from. So they kind of get pitted against each other, and then turns out they have to team up to get the bad guys Two Guns, which really is the most honest, refreshingly honest movie campaign I've seen in a long time. Because it's just a poster of them holding two guns, and it just says Two Guns. And you just like know what you're going to go when you get in. You're going to get two guys with guns that they're going to shoot.
Seems like a bit of lack of creativity, perhaps.
No, I think I like it. It's just two guns.
Two guns.
Man. As if they called the Fast and Furious movies, bunch of cars. They'd be like, yes, that's exactly what I know what I'm getting when I get in there, and that's what I get, and you deliver it on your promise. Thank you. If you'd like to see Two Guns, how about calling right now, 1-800-520-1067. We're going to have a special screening on July the 30th at the Arclight in Sherman Oaks, California. You get to see it before anybody else because the movie's not in theaters until Friday, August the 2nd. So call us right now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through, you get a pair of passes to the special K-Rock screening of Two Guns. When two guns go to war. Wasn't that song, Frankie Goes to Hollywood?
Two Tribes.
No. I don't think so.
Never mind. While we're talking movies, it is Monday morning. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Conjuring. $41.5 million in its opening weekend. A big take for a movie that didn't cost that much. When you look at something like R.I.P.D., which cost a ton of cash and only made $12.8 million, folks behind The Conjuring have to be happy with a $41.5 million return in its opening weekend.
You are all going to die tonight.
So much so, by the way, already greenlit Conjuring 2.
All right.
It's in the works. Despicable Me 2 was second. Turbo, the first of two Ryan Reynolds movies to open up this weekend. This one did better than the other one. This one made $21.5 million. Grown Ups 2 was fourth. Red 2 was fifth. Pacific Rim was sixth. And then the second Ryan Reynolds film, R.I.P.D., in its debut, made $12.8 million. Mm. Not as good. The Heat was eighth. World War Z was ninth. Monsters University came in at number 10.
Ralph, did they not try and separate movies, two movies by the same actor? Did they try to? Or do they even care?
They don't even care.
They don't care?
No.
All right.
They tend not to. It doesn't happen often, but if a guy's done a couple films and it's a prime weekend, those companies will just put out, especially when they're appealing to two very different audiences.
Yeah.
You know, an animated film like Turbo really isn't going to conflict with the people who are going to see, or in this case, not going to see, R.I.P.D. Farrah Abraham in the news.
Farrah Abramson?
That's right, Kevin. She, of course, is the brainiac teen mom turned adult film star. I'm still waiting for her restaurant to open. I thought she wanted to become a restaurateur.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she was going to go back to school and get some degrees and then start her restaurateuring business.
All that stuff.
She had to take some time off to get turned down by Playboy.
She's very busy this summer appearing in strip clubs and in porn conventions.
Right.
I don't understand how that will get her to her ultimate goal of getting a Michelin star.
You can pay to have the backdoor teen mom give you a lap dance now. That's a thing that happens and is available in America,
but I'm sure
right?
All of the money is going towards her cordon bleu schooling.
Sure.
Hey, who's watching the kid while she's getting on the chocolate starfish? That's the same kind of thing. It's what she's going for.
Where's her child while she's on the strip tour?
Farrah has said she's not sure.
Okay.
But she wishes her well, which I think is nice to do as a mother.
Huh.
She's been promoting herself on the radio a lot. Every time she goes to one of these strip clubs, she does a little radio appearance. And I was just glad that Maddie P's Radio Happy Hour.
It's a pretty good name.
Got a hold of her.
Where's that? I need to be on that show.
Maddie P's Radio Happy Hour. I'm not sure where it is, but this is the radio radio interview that she was doing. And Matty P and his crew wisely gave Farrah a chance to shine. They asked her about the important topics of the day, including something that we've all been following in the news, the Trayvon Martin George Zimmerman case, which, of course, Zimmerman was found not guilty, causing a lot of bad feelings in a lot of people. We've seen some peaceful protests.
There was a march going down through San Diego this past weekend.
We've seen some, unfortunately, some violent reaction to this. Anyway, it's a hot button topic. So you got Farrah Abraham on the phone. You want to get her take on it? Let's hear what the backdoor teen mom had to say.
What do you think about Trayvon Martin?
I feel like I've met her or something. That sounds so familiar.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know what she is. So I mean, I can't picture the person with the name right now.
Yeah. She thinks she's met her, mm-hmm. Trayvon Martin, but she can't really picture what she does.
Yeah.
You hear the DJ's like, yeah, mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
He got what he wanted by asking that question.
Absolutely. Yeah. He might as well have asked her, how would you design a particle accelerator? just say that to a German shepherd, and you get the same response. Today's celebrity birthdays, Selena Gomez, 21 years old today. Risa Fons is 46. John Leguizamo celebrates his 49th birthday, as does actor-comedian David Spade. Willem Dafoe is 58 years old today. Albert Brooks turns 66. Don Henley, also 66. Danny Glover, he's getting too old for this S. He is 67 years old today. George Clinton, he's funky, that George Clinton.
Yes, he sure is.
I just mean his
smell?
Smell.
Yeah, that's...
I was in an elevator with him once.
It was
a definite funk.
His music.
Oh. And Alex Trebek, host of Jeopardy, 73 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
What are you doing, Chris?
Playing with my volume button?
No, I mean in life.
I just thought you saw my hand under the table, and I was like, I was trying to explain why it's twisting like that.
That's right.
It's just the volume button. And I'm over here with Lisa. What Chris is doing is having one of the most high-profile jobs on network television.
That's
one of
right.
the biggest hits ever, The Bachelor and the Bachelorette. Chris Harrison joins us back in studio here on The Kevin Green Show. How are you, Chris? Good to see you, buddy.
In the history of ever.
In the world. Of ever.
Me and Kanye.
It is shocking to some of us, and by that I mean Kevin and Bean, and not so much to Ralph, that people continue to tune into this this show year after year after year, but good on you.
First of all, how dare you?
Because why
that was the
should
worst
we...
backhanded slap, not really
We're
compliment ever.
That you still have a job, Chris.
No, believe me, I wake up every day and I'm shocked that I have
no,
a job.
Look,
no, I know the formula. I know exactly why people watch.
Okay.
Because it is endlessly fascinating to watch both sides of the coin of any sort of dating relationship situation. It's like if you're in a restaurant and you see a couple on a first date,
right.
You're immediately drawn to that because the dynamics of that are always interesting. Whether it goes well or whether it goes poorly, that is something that people...
Do you do that as well where you're sitting in a restaurant and you can vividly hear, this is a first date.
Absolutely.
Like, and you just listen in, you're like, oh, these are those first awkward questions of what you like. And
we usually try and fill in the conversation.
That's it. You play the game.
Yeah,
like, what do you think
on?
She's saying now?
Well, right.
That's the thing. With The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, you don't need to fill in the conversation. You get to hear every awkward, weird moment. You watch, you know, I love the moments on The Bachelor and Bachelorette where date isn't going well and that odd silence falls across and ABC will just let the camera linger there and you get to watch them twist in the wind. It's always entertaining.
I feel like it's the NASCAR race of love.
Yes.
Yes, you want to see who takes the checkered flag, but you definitely want someone to slam into a wall at 200 miles an hour first and just burst into flames.
Absolutely.
You definitely want to see about 10 to 20 car wrecks and maybe a little blood.
Mm-hmm.
But you definitely want, you know, the music at the end and the crescendo and the happiness. You definitely want that at least opportunity for the happy ending.
Right.
But everything that you're saying about how we love to be the voyeur and watch the first date in the restaurant is amplified by 1,000 because of the situations that you put these people in, the fact that it's on television, they got the cameras in their faces, the fact that all this pressure is on, they know people are watching, the fact that they're competing against a bunch of other people for the same person's hands. I mean, it would be difficult. Look, I think all of us would probably be terrible contestants on this show.
Of
it's
course.
Incredibly difficult to navigate, right?
Speak for yourself.
Well,
I'd be great.
Now, and you add then the kind of people who show up and audition for The Bachelor and Bachelorette.
But it really, I mean, if you look at the concept that Mike Fleiss created, it is incredibly simple. There's not a lot to it. As genius as it is, there's no catch. There's no $1 million at the end of the rainbow. And there's no promise of anything. I mean, the reason I know we have a great show is at the end of every season, like The Bachelorette coming up, we're in a control room at the end of the day. And we have no control. And that's a scary thing as a producer, as you know, Ralph, you've been, you know, on that side where you try to control everything. Well, really, the last moment of our show, we have no say over. You're sitting there like the viewer going, well, I hope this works out.
Yeah.
You know,
or hope we get something.
Yeah, hope we get something. And so it really is an amazing thing because we're as captivated as our audience. So, you know we have something good here.
All right, let me ask you a question about the behind the scenes.
Yes.
These people that go on this show, none of them are looking for love.
That's just not true.
No, I'm asking. That's. That meant was, to be a question.
No, it wasn't.
Are any of them?
That was a statement.
Your Honor, a question mark at the end of something.
I'll re-ask it.
Your Honor, permission to treat this witness as hostile.
Are any of them actually looking for love? Or do they just get on a TV show and they know it's competitive and I need to beat you because you're competing with me against something that has nothing to do with love?
The answer is definitely sure. Look, 11 years ago, we definitely had that innocence and the naivete of like, what am I getting into? You know, but really so much, I think even back then it wasn't as much for love as, wow, what is this new adventure? And I think still people come on for, A, this is going to be a great experience. I'm going to get to meet Chris Harrison, which is a dream come true.
Yeah, that's
what they all say.
Main
you know,
focus.
I might get to touch his hair. But no, it's...
Cut my hand on his hair.
But I think in the back, though, and I hate to still be this romantic guy, I think
Don't
at the end
it.
Of the day, there's just this inkling of, what if? Like, yes, I'm going to go around the world. There's going to be this action adventure. And, but what if? What if this works out? Like, this could happen. And it does happen. You know, you'll see tonight on the Men Tell All when Zach comes back, you know, the emotion that you get from that, you can't fake. I mean, this guy's, you know, not Tom Cruise. He's not Meryl Streep. I mean, they can't fake that emotion. And so this show does work in that way, which is the only way it's been around for 11 years is because you do get these people. And yes, they're on there for some of them, the wrong reasons or whatever. But you have to have at its core the fact that it works.
And I think people may come on for the adventure and some people may even come on for the exposure
to be on TV.
But when you go through the journey, as they call it all the time,
yes,
and you are with this particularly attractive person who's charming and you're in these romantic cities and stuff, I think genuine emotions
get caught up.
I think that really happens.
Well, I think a lot of them, you know, even looking back at Sean, even, you know, with Emily and then even now with Catherine as he's engaged, you know, they're all pleasantly surprised when they get on the show. Like, come on, you know, I'm from Dallas. I was just going to have a good time. And he's like, I didn't know. I really didn't know I would fall in love with Emily. And he did, you know.
Right.
And so they are a little surprised that it works so well.
Isn't it a little bit like summer camp, though, where you're in this situation, you're really, really intense just for a little bit. And then when you go away.
I always, before I ever came here, I always laughed at, you know, these Hollywood sets where they go off and they're about to promote these movies and the weirdest couples come together and they announce they're engaged.
Right.
And then they get back in the real world and like, what the hell?
Yeah. Terrible
I'm
idea.
Engaged to you?
Yeah.
That seemed so cool 8 weeks ago. But
no, and again, with this show?
But I think that is what is part of the genius of this show is that we have been able to make that transition several times where they do get back to quote unquote the real world. And it does work. You know, obviously they don't all work out. And I like the fact that our show's not predicated on the fact that it is successful because I think that would be fake. If we, you know, had this pop-up priest at the end of the show, like, whoa, marriage, everybody's happy. It's like, that's not the way the world works. There are divorces.
This
there
isn't
breakups.
Who wants to marry a millionaire, right?
Right. And so I like the fact that you will see breakups. And why that happens, you get back to the real world and someone leaves the toilet seat down or squeezes the toothpaste in the middle and it pisses you off. And that stuff happens. But at the end of the day, you have great weddings like Ashley and JP and, you know, hopefully Catherine and Sean.
I think it works to your credit, too.
How dare you?
Because fans of the show will follow those couples after the fact to see what the end result is. And it keeps there's an interest level that maintains even after the show ends for a lot of these couples.
And not to brag too much, but I don't know a show on television now, even American Idol, that is as socially important and carries so much weight 365 days of the year as The Bachelor and Bachelorette do.
Steady, pal. Steady.
Like what? Like name a show. Name a show that when a couple breaks up or gets together, like
news.
Who won American Idol? You know, it's like it'll last for about a week and then it all kind of dies off. But like our show, the people that watch in groups and talk about it the next day. And, you know, our couples, you know, everyone's dying. As soon as Sean and Catherine decide when their wedding is or, heaven forbid, they break up or whatever, like, that's huge news. And, like, that our show is as probably more important socially than it was even 10 or 11 years ago.
It has picked up, Steve.
Chris, I know we have
to
take a break.
We've changed the world. I don't think that's too short.
I know we have to take a break. We have many, many more things we want to talk about, including your new dating site, which is the shallowest dating site of them all, which I can't wait to get into. But
I'm sorry, did you say awesome? Awesome is this?
Awesome was what I said.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
How many people, I've always wanted to ask you this, Chris, I don't think I ever have, how many applications do you get to be the Bachelor or the Bachelorette?
It depends. I mean, you know, honestly, we have an independent casting department that works with us that is going 12 months of the year now, because we know, you know, we're constantly redoing the show, Bachelor and Bachelorette's coming up, and so they are constantly going around the country holding casting calls, and so we'll even go back. You know, like say we found somebody last year, wasn't quite right for this season, we may go back and say, hey, are you still single? You were great when we met you in, you know, San Diego, and we'll pull him back. So, I mean, there are thousands and thousands of people in our files that we are constantly going over.
And none of them are black, right? None of them.
How dare you, sir? There were two African-Americans in this season alone.
Thank you, Ralph.
That lasted 2 weeks.
Chris Harrison is here. We'll talk all things Bachelor and Bachelorette when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Chris Harrison in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He, of course, the host of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette and a bunch of other things. You do red carpets at, what, the Emmys. You do the Miss America pageant. You're a very busy man.
Yeah, Miss America's actually, it moved. It's coming up September 15th this year, and they moved it back to Atlantic City, where I did it the last year was there back in 2004, and I had the dubious honor of killing it off network television.
Sweet.
Yeah, well,
congratulations.
And then for some reason it came back and they hired me back, but we've redeemed ourselves. It's actually been hugely successful, and that's actually really fun if you've never been to it, that you guys would.
I found out this season on The Bachelorette that Atlantic City is Las Vegas by the ocean. That's what I found out. A lot of the guys were very excited to be in Atlantic City when you guys took them there this year. I had no idea.
Those are people that have never been there before.
We cast them because they're smart.
Chris is like Las Vegas by the ocean.
One of the guys said, having grown up 90 minutes from there my whole life, I can tell you that's not the case.
You have so many jobs where you are surrounded by young, horny, hot women. Is there ever any spillover to the host?
Absolutely. I mean, that's in my contract now. I will not do anything with less than 25 beautiful women.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. It was hard for me to come in this morning.
with them hanging on to your legs.
Lisa May offsets the curve so much that I still made this. And that's why I'm sitting on this side of the desk.
That's the only reason.
Yes, that's why we're holding hands right now.
A bunch of ugly dudes.
Before you came in, Chris, Ralph was saying that tonight was his favorite episode of The Bachelor or Bachelorette every season.
I love when the men tell all and the women tell all.
Now, Ralph, why were you saying you love tonight so much? That I want to hear from Chris' perspective.
Because Chris gets to put them in the hot seat, and they take the leash off, and he doesn't have to worry about how many roses are left, or say your goodbyes, or the cocktail party. He gets to be him, and you can just, if you watch carefully, you can see a little bit of the real Chris Harrison.
We get to bitch slap these guys around. Let's be honest. Yes. We get to slap these guys around like they should.
You bring the hard questions, and if you have some animosity towards someone, you let it out, and you're not afraid to show.
You'll see tonight. I actually got up and I punched a guy. I punched him right in the face.
Now I'm in. Snap.
And I said, now that happened.
That's awesome.
So is it because when you're hosting up till this point in the season, you're just trying to be the impartial referee who doesn't get in the way and you kind of keep your personal feelings to yourself, but tonight you get to let it all out?
No, honestly, the great part about my job and how it's evolved is I'm not really impartial. I'm really not that host of a game show. I'm there for Dez first and foremost, whoever the Bachelor or Bachelorette is, and they're kind of my job, and my job is to kind of walk them through this quote-unquote journey, and so I'm really there for her, and I'll be honest with her and pretty forthright, and so my job is to help her. But tonight my job is to ask the questions that, if you're sitting on your couch going, dude, you gotta ask this, that's what I want to do. I can't make it uncomfortable enough. I don't care about that. I will try to get everything I can out of these guys, because I watch the show back like you do, and I'm like, oh, I got to ask that when we get to the tell-all.
You got to get to James and say, why did you say you wanted to be the Bachelor next season over and above spending time with this?
Right, and they all come back with their political, because they've had time to think about this. So I love it when they come back with their, you know, political PR-driven statement, and then I just shoot right through it because I can tell it's complete BS. And then you get the emotion. I mean, at one point tonight, in all seriousness, you'll see, you know, one of the guys, it was Mikey. And again, I know these means nothing to you guys. But, you know,
their names.
Mikey was kind of thrown under the bus. He was one of our Jersey Shore guys, one of the meatheads from Chicago.
Yeah.
And he got up and got in one of these guys' faces tonight. And it got very contentious tonight, a little bit more than I thought it would.
Is there somebody each season that you really, really can't stand? There has to be one leader.
Of course.
I know there's probably more, but there has to be probably a standout that just...
I mean, there's definitely people that I get along with. There's people I don't like. You know, I am just like the viewer. I mean, I sit there on night one. I'm like kind of in the dark off behind the camera, and I just sit there and judge like everybody else. I'm like, really? You showed up in your 87 prom dress? This is your moment in national television, millions of people, and that's what you did with your hair.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty of the show. Is, I mean, let's be honest. We sit there and judge and tear these beautiful, skinny people apart because we'll never be as good looking as them.
It's true.
And so I sit there with my pint of Chunky Monkey and my box of white wine, and I judge. And then I cry.
Which is what we all do.
Your reality show is different from a lot of shows in that you can watch it as much as you want at home, but there's no formula to win it because you can't really fake chemistry, right? And so, a lot of it is kind of out of your hands.
Well, really what it is you can't save people from themselves. And that's one of the lessons I've learned over 11 years is you can only fake so much, but eventually, better or worse, you will show up. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's for the worse.
Wherever you are for real.
Yeah. You just can't come in and be like, I'm that type A personality. I'm the funny guy. I'm going to be wild. And you've never been that because you just can't sustain that. And eventually you will show up and it will either be great or it will be a disaster. And again, that's the beauty of the show is eventually we will get to you. And if we don't, then we'll meet your family and they will get to you. Yeah. And so that it really is. It's one of those amazing things I've learned is that you just can't fake whoever you are.
That's how we knew the prosecutor from Florida was gay. That's when he finally came out. We knew we'd watch it right there. We saw it all happen. That's who he really is right there.
Do you get to nail the Bachelorette whenever you want?
Not whenever I want. No, okay. No.
It's a schedule, right?
Yeah, it's definitely a schedule. It's like we're busy. We're traveling a lot, so it's not as much as you would think. And it's more like when I was with Sean. A lot of the times, I'm just oiling his abs and stuff like that.
Sure.
We want to go there, but we don't have time.
I miss Sean in the solo flex. I missed a lot of that footage.
I'm more
that
of
was
a fluffer, anyway. I really get him ready for the date.
The Bachelorette airs tonight at 8 on ABC. By the way, before
can
you
any
go,
of this air? I don't know if is this
it just did.
Oh, okay, we'll fix it.
Wait, oh, this is live.
Oh, yeah,
this is
Chris
terrible.
Called himself a fluffer in front of everyone.
Tell me about atfirstsight.com, which is an online dating site that you are one of the co-owner or something of.
I'm one of the co-creators. Yeah. Mike Fleiss and I, the creator of The Bachelor, and I have been talking about this. It's really a natural transition. We've talked about, you know, doing a dating site or getting involved in one. And
sure.
It just – not everybody's going to be on The Bachelor or Bachelorette. It's entertainment. Not everybody wants to be on television, of course, but everybody does want to find love. Again, that's the beauty of the show is it deals with the one thing we all want is companionships. And we started looking around the dating space, and honestly, it was horrible. It's just so antiquated, and we thought, you know, if you looked at an old Photoshop picture – of me from high school, and I wrote this bio, and I would be the greatest guy in the world. And then you show up at a coffee shop, and you're like, really?
Yeah.
And you have that first awkward date. So we thought, we wouldn't cast our show like that. Why would you date like that? You want to see people. You want to hear people. And that's how you really kind of get that chemistry. And it's also answering specific questions. And so on our site, At First Sight, you have to answer specific questions. And you see video. And you have a video profile. And it really is a much better way of online dating because that first awkward coffee date is already off the table. You know what I look like. You know what I sound like. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, look, Ralph and I could look at the same picture of a woman. And I could be like – we'd both agree she's hot.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we hear her – and we hear an answer to a question, I'd be like, oh, my God, I'm so turned off. And Ralph would still be like, well, no, I find her very interesting.
Right.
That's chemistry. And you can't get that from a bio or a picture. So you've changed your mind. It is the greatest site ever.
That's what it is.
Well, I heard about it when the news came out a couple weeks ago that Ben, the bachelor with the worst hair in the history of the show, was actually on it. He was looking for love on atfirstsight.com.
Yeah,
right?
Ben's on. Actually, Sarah's from last season is going to be on. There's a few of them that are joining on.
Is that Sarah the redhead from last season?
No, blonde.
Oh, the blonde.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, they've been through this before on The Bachelor and Bachelorette, so they kind of know how this works. And it really is, you know, 10 years ago, this wouldn't have worked. But now we all have our camera and our video camera in our back pocket. And you can't fake it either. You have to take it from the device you're holding. And so it really is – people are just so natural now. And I thought, are people really going to make these videos? But you'll look and – you know, they're shooting it in their car, they're shooting it in the park or wherever, and it really is just this natural transition, and I think it's worked beautifully. It really has.
Do you have a file of the best, the worst videos, the worst?
Well, and the best part is you can download At First Sight on your app, and it's free, and you don't even have to sign up. We don't ask you for all this information just to look at it. You can just look at these videos. It's as addicting as the show is.
Is that right?
I sit at home, and I'll be honest, I look at these videos, the tragic ones especially. I mean, people are, you know, it's like night one of The Bachelor. I'm like, really? Like, this is the best foot forward you're going
to
go with this?
To everyone.
Did someone surprise you and put you on this site?
Yeah, like they woke you up in the middle of the night. Go! Shoot this video now. Go! But again, that's where we are. And I think people are so comfortable. But somebody will find that attractive. And that's the beautiful thing.
Well, no one should date Ben on atfirstsight.com because he's a bad person and I don't like him from this.
All right. There you go.
Maybe just Ralph shouldn't date him.
I'm not going to date Ben. I'm telling you that much.
The website is atfirstsight.com. The Bachelorette airs tonight at 8 on ABC. And of course, we'll have the Bachelorette recap.
No. That's what today's taking
place.
Tomorrow,
he'll be here tomorrow to talk all about it. Yes. Chris, always awesome to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Always appreciate the support, guys. And I mean, I know, Kevin and Bean, you guys love the show so much.
Huge
if you
fans.
Guys would just stop, just I mean, you're just such psycho
fans.
Is it
too much?
It is too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets creepy.
Yeah, we don't watch.
All right, thank you, Chris.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. It's 20 minutes till 9. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. It's kind of a quality program we're running here. Hey, Monday morning, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat coming up here in just a minute on the Kevin and Bean Show. Then we'll be hearing from Lars Ulrich from the band Metallica. Metallica was down in Comic-Con. Kevin, you did not see them over the weekend.
I didn't know.
They were performing. I guess you can't do everything all the time when you're down there.
Things, yeah.
But they'll be talking all about their new movie that's coming out in September in IMAX. First, though, O.J. Simpson back in the news. I don't know how you guys feel about this, but... what are the chances if they were to parole him that he would go out and rob somebody else?
Well, let's ask him.
Oh, okay. You could do that.
We have OJ on the line.
He is up for parole. He was convicted back in 2008 for kidnapping and armed robbery, sentenced from 9 to 33 years in prison. And his case is going to the parole board later this month. And, of course, he is petitioning, would like to be released. I was just going to say, I would recommend let the guy out. I doubt it's
likely.
What
I'm talking about. Finally,
hi, OJ.
There's
how are
a
you?
White man who isn't afraid of me and my enormous penis.
I just want to see if you'll try to kill somebody else if you get out of prison again, OJ. That's my
little interest. I didn't kill anybody. See, there you go again. Everybody's picking on the juice, saying I kill people and I rob people. And I don't do none of that. I'm the juice.
They had pretty much had you on video from the casino. I mean, we could see you doing the stuff you did.
Well, here's what happened.
And we could hear it.
I was in a cab at the casino, and I left my cell phone in the cab. And so I just asked them to bring all the security video up.
No, that's my story.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I robbed some people. But look, who hasn't robbed somebody at gunpoint from time to time?
Well, I haven't. And Bean hasn't.
We all make.
And Leeson hasn't. I mean, none of us have.
Well, Leeson, she doesn't like to do that. I understand.
And Ralph hasn't. And Dave hasn't.
Hi, everybody. But I just think that it's time to let bygones be bygones and set the juice free, I think is what everybody's saying. You see the T-shirts everywhere you go. You see the posters. It's time for them to recognize it's time for the juice to go free.
I don't know that there's a groundswell of support for you, OJ. You don't exactly have the public on your side anymore, I'm sorry to say.
But here's the thing that the public doesn't know.
Right.
If you help me get out of here, I will kill somebody for you.
Well,
maybe you got a neighbor or an ex-wife or ex-husband that you don't like so much. I'll take care of that for you. If you do for me, I'll do for you.
But, OG, I'm not positive that's what the review board is going to want to hear when they consider setting you free.
All right, then. I won't kill anybody. Whatever they need me to say, I'm saying I'm willing to do and say. Because I can't spend any more time in here. The food here is just awful.
Yeah.
I miss the good old days when I could just, you know, eat stuff that I like. But the food in the jails is just...
Oh, really? No.
OJ, really? The food's that bad? Come on.
That's a lot of juice.
Hey, everybody.
I don't think they should let OJ out. Me personally,
I don't either.
I don't think it's a good idea.
It's a bad
let
plan.
Him go. Prisons are crowded. What's he going to do?
He's going to kill somebody or steal something.
What are the chances? Oh, because he's black. That's why you say that, because he's black.
No, because he's killed people and stolen things before.
Oh, that's right. That makes a lot more sense. Yeah. Okay. All right. As we mentioned, Lars from Metallica talks about the new Metallica IMAX movie coming up right after the top of the hour. We got to him in Comic-Con this weekend. First, though, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat.
Everyone wants to know what people went to see at the theaters this weekend. Well, it turns out The Conjuring was number one at the box office. $41.5 million made it number one. By far, Despicable Me 2 was the next closest box office hit with $25.1 million. Then Turbo, in its debut, made $21 million. Grown Ups 2 and Red 2 were the top five. Pacific Rim, $16 million. R.I.P.D. did not perform well at the box office. It was D.O.A.
See what you did with the letters?
See what I do
with them? LOL.
See what you did to my thing that I did?
See?
$12.8 million, made it number seven. The Heat was eighth, World War Z ninth, and then Monsters University rounding out your top ten.
Ralph, I was on vacation when Grown Ups 2 came out. Mm-hmm. What happened to the show where now Kevin doesn't go see that movie?
That's how bad Grown Ups 2 was. Even
really?
Kevin couldn't make
it. I didn't know that Kevin had a bottom line.
I don't usually. Maybe there was probably something else that opened that same weekend.
We distracted Kevin with a shiny object, and he just ignored it. Kanye West's song New Slaves on his latest album, Yeezus, one of the verses of that song has been dubbed the best rap verse of all time.
Wow.
Congratulations to Kanye West. Let's see who said that. Oh, it was Kanye West. Kanye West said, it's the best rap verse of all time.
That is absolutely not true.
Of all time in the history of rap music, period.
That is absolutely incorrect.
Yeah. I'd like to talk about it, but Kanye West already told me don't talk. Don't talk to anybody who I know anybody. Don't talk to anyone he knows. Don't talk to anyone who knows anyone. Don't talk to myself. Just don't talk. So I can't spread this news.
That's too bad. Yeah.
Did you guys see the video of him assaulting that cameraman trying to get his camera?
Hey, look at this next story I have. This week, Kanye West got in trouble for assaulting a photographer at LAX. The videographer, if you will, made the horrible mistake of mocking him for that don't talk speech.
Yeah.
He said, why can't I talk to you? Hey, why can't I talk? Why can't I talk? And then Kanye just went all bat spit crazy on him. Our microphones are there.
Camera. Don't talk.
Or where they're running to.
Some dropped a weight plate from the gym.
And then he left.
One more punch. Sorry. Yeah, the videographer in question is a guy named Dano. And Dano has had some historical significance with celebrities before, because he was the guy that Britney Spears attacked with the umbrella when she was all shaved head and crazy.
Oh,
remember her?
Does he just get in their face and try to annoy him when he realizes
they're...
He's
known as an instigator.
Ah.
So she attacked his SUV with the umbrella. Here's the thing. Dano made a ton of money off of that incident because she dropped the umbrella. So he took that and he put that up on eBay. And then he sold the dented SUV he was driving, also on eBay, for like $50,000.
What?
So he's able to sell...
So he's a dick,
he
right?
He can sell souvenirs of his interactions with celebrities. I don't know. I heard paramedics had to come to the scene of this particular incident when
really?
Kanye beat him down.
I saw him walk away. Maybe he was just trying to get away from
maybe,
Kanye.
But I'm thinking there's going to be a lawsuit and something in the offing. And the funny thing is, Kanye says to him, you just want to get me upset, so you know I have to pay you $250,000 after
right.
I hit you. And the guy's like, what? And then he attacks
him.
Then
he does
so
it.
He should have just handed him a check before
That's
he
why
it.
I was so confused, is that Kanye obviously was self-aware enough to know that he was being baited and that if he responded poorly, it might cost him money, yet he went ahead and did it anyway.
Bean said Kanye West and self-aware in the same sentence. That's rich. You're adorable.
He's a jackass.
And Kris Jenner's new talk show isn't doing so well.
Oh, really?
Man.
Well, look at who their guest today is.
Viewers not tuning in droves, and the critics are not fans. One critic for the New York Post, Linda Stasi, called the show unwatchable and said regarding Chris's work, she has as much right hosting a talk show as her talentless daughter had for hosting a talent show.
Fire beer mug.
Referring to Chloe's stint on The X Factor.
Is anybody buying this polished turd?
In response, Kris Jenner sent this critic a $325 Tiffany pen with a box of gourmet cupcakes and then a note encouraging her to write a better review next time. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Here, use your pen.
I just think you're terrific.
Other critics have called it horrible. Another, boring. A third, self-involved. And one guy said, it was really good.
What?
Bruce Jenner. Bruce Jenner.
You had to say that.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
I watched it. I was going to bring in clips of it so that we can make fun of it.
What?
Yeah, I taped it, watched it so we could bring in clips.
It's not even bad enough to play
clips. Yeah, it's not even bad enough to play clips. It's not
just
good
boring.
Enough. Just not there.
Yeah. I'm glad.
A placeholder.
I'm looking forward to her failure. Alex Trebek, host of Jeopardy, 73 years old, kicks off our celebrity birthdays today. George Clinton is 72. Danny Glover is 67. Don Henley and comedian Albert Brooks both turned 66 today. Willem Dafoe is 58. Another Spider-Man villain, Reese Afons, who was the Lizard in The Amazing Spider-Man, is 46 years old. David Spade is 49. John Leguizamo, also 49. And Selena Gomez turns 21 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Want to find out what the life of Kevin and Bean is like? You want to get mugged yourself in person? You can from 1 till 3 this afternoon at the Hot Topic store in Northridge at the Northridge Fashion Center.
Yeah!
Muggs is going to be there. He's got lots of stuff to hand out, including tickets to Epicenter, also the Postal Service Uproar Festival, K-Rock Music, and more. And you're there to give away the new K-Rock bumper sticker, right, Muggs?
Absolutely, Bean.
You can stick it on the back of your car. You can send in the back for us, or you can enter online at krock.com to win a private performance with Linkin Park for you and 10 friends, plus a $500 Hot Topic gift card. Again, Northridge Fashion Center, 1 to 3 today. You can get mugged by our own beer mug.
Note to self, don't ask beer mug questions.
1 to 3 at Northridge. That's not too far from my house. I might stop by.
Really?
Just to pelt him with like pretzel bits from the food court while he's trying to talk to people.
He'll catch him in his mouth.
Ding, just banking him off.
You'll throw him as hard as you can, and he'll just catch him and swallow him.
He's like a seal at a show at SeaWorld.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. The Conjuring did very well. Well enough to be number one this weekend. $41.5 million. Scary stuff. People like to be scared.
That's true.
I like that Vera Farmiga, too. She's good stuff.
Yeah, she's a good deal.
Despicable Me 2 was second with $25 million. Turbo, in its debut, made $21.5 million, made it number 3. Grown Ups 2 was fourth. Red 2 was fifth. Pacific Rim dropped to sixth this week with $16 million. R.I.P.D., the new Ryan Reynolds, Jeff Bridges movie, made $12.8 million. You can get it on DVD tomorrow. You can pick that up.
See how, really?
No. But that's how quickly they want to move it out of theaters. The Heat was eighth. World War Z was ninth. Monsters University rounding out your top 10. Longtime pioneering model agent John Casablancas has passed away. Died in Rio de Janeiro after a long battle with cancer. He really ushered in the age of the supermodel. It was his agency, the Elite Model Management Company, which is still a huge agency in the world of fashion modeling. He launched the careers of such young ladies as Cindy Crawford, Naomi Campbell, Claudia Schiffer, Heidi Klum, Gisele Bündchen, Andy McDowell.
Just have a standing bell for this list. Hold your applause until the end, please.
If it wasn't for John, we would not have any of these women in our lives.
So there would be no hot chicks in the world if it hadn't been for John Casablancas, apparently.
It would be our loss if he didn't do what he did. So, a life well lived. He's also the dad of the Strokes lead singer, Julian Casablancas. So,
all right.
He's done a lot in his life, and he will be missed at the age of 70. Congratulations to Jesse Tyler Ferguson of Modern Family. He got married over the weekend to his longtime boyfriend, Justin Makita. Ty Burrell was there attending, along with Jerry O'Connell and Rebecca Romijn. Isaac Mizrahi, fashion designer. Top Chef host Padma Lakshmi. They were all on hand to celebrate the happy couple in Manhattan.
A marriage is between Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
It's just not the case at all. Amanda Bynes is on her way.
Yes.
She has left New York City and heading towards our hometown of Los Angeles.
All right.
I'm afraid. I can't drive on the streets. Who knows what she's going to be up to? Reportedly, she had a bad farewell from New York City. She ticked off the staff at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel there last Thursday by smoking pot in her room. They got some complaints. When checking into the hotel, she told the front desk attendant that she was too ugly to check her in.
Asshole.
Man, she's really throwing that around these days.
You're too ugly. How attractive does a person have to be to check you in?
I don't think that is germane to the process at all. Really,
you're not marrying the person behind the desk. They're just taking your credit card, right?
Sources say that she also has quite an appetite. While at the Ritz-Carlton, she racked up her $2,000 in room service charges.
Whoa.
Oh, my.
Much of it nachos, fries, and other snacks. When they get the munchies, nothing beats nachos.
Somebody's high
right now.
Do we know if Amanda Bynes still has a place in Southern California, or is there a hotel that is bracing for Hurricane Amanda to be coming in any minute now?
I say send her right to the Chateau Marmont.
Don't know.
They're used to that kind of behavior. By the way, Amanda maintains this week she does not smoke pot. Everyone needs to know that.
Okay.
She never touches this stuff.
All right.
So.
Oh, what's that smoke coming out of her room?
Must be potpourri.
Potpourri and nachos.
That's right. And Farrah Abraham, she is quickly becoming just the best celebrity in the world. First of all, there's the anal. Can't take that away from her.
That exists.
But she's just an idiot, and she tries to speak well beyond her level of intelligence, which makes her sound dumber. And she's obviously just a whore and a porn star, but she also claims that she wants to get her master's degree and open a restaurant. She's just full of lies, this woman. So it was fun to hear her called out on her BS on Matty P's Radio Happy Hour. You know, I used to do sports over there for Matty P. On
you
the
did?
Radio
oh,
Happy
did you?
Hour. Yeah, back
never
early,
heard of the Radio Happy Hour.
Career. Oh, the Radio Happy Hour. That's the way to go. They talked to Farrah Abraham because now she's touring the country doing strip club shows. And adult cons, adult entertainment conventions.
Is that a big seller? Do you know, Ralph? You have any idea?
Her video? Yeah, it did very well.
It did well.
Yeah. So she was doing an interview, and the smart people over at Matty P's said, let's find out how she feels about some of the issues of the day. For example, the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman case. Big story. It's been in the news almost constantly since it happened. You couldn't avoid it, frankly, even if you
a lot of controversy,
a lot of coverage.
It's impossible to avoid a story that
especially
big.
In the wake of the jury's decision. A lot of people have been talking about it, so I guess they figured, Farrah Abraham, she's a young woman with a lot going on. Let's see what she thinks about the death of Trayvon Martin.
What do you think about Trayvon Martin?
I feel like I've met her or something. That sounds so familiar.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know what she is, so I mean, I can't picture the person with the name right now.
You can't picture her? You can't picture her, Trayvon Martin? You know, she's one of the stars of Scandal over there on ABC.
Dude.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I gotta give credit to Matty P. He played that perfectly.
Yes, he did.
He's like, yeah.
Yeah, okay. You can just see him like, check off that one. Okay, let's ask her now.
Well, let her keep talking. That's fantastic.
Let's ask her about cold fusion now. Let's see what we get out of that. Today's celebrity birthdays. And the answer is Alex Trebek, your host of Jeopardy, 73 years old today.
Hate that guy, all smart and whatnot.
Most smug Canadian on the planet.
It's pretty easy to be smug when you got the answers in your hand, Alex.
George Clinton, you know him as the lead singer of Parliament, Funkadelic, right?
Yep.
Yeah. 72 years old today. Danny Glover, 67. Singer Don Henley turned 66 today, as does actor, comedian, director, writer Albert Brooks. If you're not following him on Twitter, you're doing yourself a disservice.
I am not.
He is funnier in 140 characters than most people could be. The 140 words. 66 years old today. Willem Dafoe is 58. Singer Keith Sweat is 52. David Spade, 49, as is John Leguizamo. Reese Fons from Notting Hill. And, of course, the Amazing Spider-Man played the Lizard in that film. He's 46 years old. And Selena Gomez celebrates her 21st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk our Showbiz Beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Reminder at krock.com, kevinandbean.com, we have the video of Psycho Mike and I walking the Comic-Con floor and interviewing some of the colorful people that are there.
Yeah, poking fun at my people, at my citizens.
We were laughing along with.
Don't come back next year. Don't come. You're not welcome.
We were enjoying our time with them.
You're not welcome.
Go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com to watch that. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we have Aubrey Plaza.
Ooh. Oh.
Love her so much.
A guy who's written a book about fantasy sports called Fantasy Life, Matthew Berry, will be on the program. What's up with Florida tomorrow? Embarrassing things that happened while texting. Dave, the King of Mexico, this weekend at Comic-Con, walked into a women's room.
Sure did.
Walked into a women's restroom while texting.
And that happens all the time.
She said, a girl said, hey, you're in the women's room. And he said, sure enough. Turned around and just walked out.
Oh, I should twit that.
I'm sorry.
Oh, in wrong restroom.
So that's all tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.